Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we get to have the opportunity again to open up your word on this Thursday morning, may you bless your word and the preaching of it as we are gathered here to remember the good things you have done for us, especially in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we can come and that you have called us here to open up your word and to hear from you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning, as I mentioned, is in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. It is a fairly long psalm, but it is one that we're going to be considering in its entirety this morning, since it is such a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving to the Lord. Psalm 107, brothers and sisters, this is God's holy word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of the God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm, so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. He sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Well, thanks be to the Lord for his word. Where did you come from this morning to get here? Why are you even here? Well, a more probing question could even be, how has God worked in your life to bring you to this point here this morning? Well, those are interesting questions. And for some of you, the paths that you have taken to get here, they're amazing stories. It's amazing how God has worked in your life to bring you here now, here this morning. But the real answer for why you are here is found in verses 2 and 3 of this psalm. The Lord has redeemed you from your enemy, and he has gathered you in for all directions to be here this morning. The reason we are here on a Thursday morning, here towards the end of November 2017, is because God has called us here as his redeemed people. And he calls us to give him thanks for his covenant faithfulness, his goodness towards us. Well, you have heard Reverend Stromberg and I many times from this pulpit mention to you that very important Hebrew word, hesed. If you need to know how to write that for your notes so you can remember it, you can just transliterate it, H-E-S-E-D, hesed. And children, all this means is that God keeps his promises. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. He's faithful to his promises, faithful to his covenant. In the New King James translation, which we read this morning, it translates that word hesed either mercy or goodness. And those are correct glosses, correct ways to interpret it. But it's more than just goodness. It's more than just mercy. The very last verse, it translates it loving kindness. And that's a much better translation. What hesed expresses is the fidelity that God has to his covenant. God is faithful to his covenant. And that's the reason why we're gathered here this morning. God has been faithful to his covenant people. And that is what this psalm is about. So think with me briefly this morning about God's hesed, about his covenant faithfulness. As it is seen as God redeems us first from our fallen world, but second, also from our fallen hearts. First, from our fallen world, and second, from our fallen hearts. And as we look at this wonderful psalm this morning, may we heed the words of the last verse. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the hesed, the loving kindness of the Lord. So first, let us think about God's hesed as it is seen as he redeems us from this fallen world. Well, Psalm 107 is divided into six main stanzas of varying lengths. And the first stanza of the first three verses is really just an introduction, calling the redeemed people of the Lord to praise him as he has gathered them to give him thanks. He has gathered people from all the nations, all the directions. They are gathered here. And at this point, all we know about these people is that they are from all over, from the north, from the south, from the east and from the west. And we could say the same even this morning, can't we? God has gathered us from all the directions around Linden, around the Linden United Reformed Church. We've all come and been gathered here. But we're also gathered here as the redeemed, as those God has redeemed from our enemy. Well, the wonderful thing about Psalm 107 is that the psalmist gives a little bit of the backstory behind some of those whom God has gathered to praise him. After the introduction, there are four stanzas. Four stanzas to tell us what happened to bring the people to where they were at. The first and last of these stanzas, we can see the trouble that some had, the trouble that they were experiencing living in a fallen world. So first we come to verses 4 through 8. And we hear the story of some who are wandering in the wilderness, not able to find a city, not able to find a place to dwell in. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. Now, those of you who live in the Pacific Northwest and have been here for your whole life, you're actually at a severe disadvantage when we come to a passage such as this. When you think of wilderness, what do you think of? Mount Baker, the Mount Baker Wilderness, the Nooksack River, all the streams flowing through, tall trees. That's what we think of in wilderness. There's plenty of water there. And if you are resourceful enough, there's plenty of food. There's plant life, there's animal life, if you can catch it. That's not the type of wilderness the psalmist is speaking of here in Psalm 107. And generally speaking, whenever you hear wilderness in the Bible, don't think of the wilderness we have in the mountains to the east of us. Other translations of verse 4 say desert wastelands or desert wastes. That's a better description, a more appropriate description of the physical lands that the Hebrews would have associated with wilderness in their time. This is a place with no water, with very little plant life or animal life, if any. One cannot scratch out a living very long in a place like that. In the Bible, when they speak of wilderness, it's a very foreboding place, a very inhospitable place. But yet that's the environment that some of God's people found themselves in. They were unable to find a place to dwell, and they were dying in the desert. Their pilgrim journeys were not supposed to go this way. It was not God's original intent to have places in the world that he created that would kill his people just by them being there. In a fallen world, though, there are such places. And in the case of these pilgrims, they were crying out to the Lord in the midst of a very severe situation, a very harsh environment, one that they couldn't live in much longer. Well, that's what we hear in the first stanza. In the fourth stanza, in verses 23 to 31, another situation is expressed. Here, these people aren't dying of thirst for lack of water. They are close to death because there is too much water. They are in the midst of a storm. But they are simply just doing business on the sea. That is what God has called them to do business on the sea. And they did that throughout their life. And as they are on the sea, they can see God's wonders, see God's control in a very profound way, especially when he brings a great storm. The root word in verse 25 is that same word that God sent the storm upon Jonah when Jonah was fleeing from the Lord. So what we have here is a picture of a very severe storm. And the description we hear in verses 26 and 27 confirm that. The waves were as high as the heavens. The troughs were as low as the depths of the earth. Sailors who are experienced, who do their business on the sea, were at wit's end. They didn't know what else to do to save the boat. They couldn't walk around on the deck of the boat. They were walking around like drunk men because of the waves. Again, God didn't create the sea to bring this kind of trouble, to bring even death to those who travel upon it. But yet because of this fallen world, that's where these pilgrims found themselves. In the case of the pilgrims in the desert and the pilgrims on the sea, they are both in very dire situations. Where can they turn for help? Well, listen to verse 6. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distresses. You may have noticed as I was reading this psalm, that line is repeated all four times throughout this psalm. How is God's chesed revealed to his people? How does God take care of his people? When his people cry out to him, he delivers them from their distress. He delivers them from their trouble. I know that some of you have just, in just this past year, have done this. Cried out to the Lord in the midst of your distress, in the midst of your struggle. Maybe some of you have done that even in just the last few days. You've cried out to the Lord. You're under severe struggles, severe trials in your life. Where else do you turn but to the Lord? Well, brothers and sisters, our covenant Lord is always listening to the cries of his people in their distress. He's always listening. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, come to me, come, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you have trouble, if you have distress, if your soul is hungry and thirsty from the parched land that you are wandering in, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Lord in his word. If you come to Reverend Stromberg or myself in any of these times, we're going to do the same thing with you. Come to the Lord in prayer. Open up his word. Hear from him. In Psalm 107, the Lord led those in the desert on a straight path to a city. For those on the sea, the Lord calmed it. He calmed the waves. He brought them to their desired haven. And as such, those who are redeemed by the Lord in this way as well are called upon the Lord to thank him, to praise him for his chesed, praise him for his wondrous works. Just like the cry given to the Lord is repeated four times in this psalm, so too is the refrain. We hear that in verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his chesed, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Four times that is repeated after God delivered his people. Simple refrain, isn't it? It's a simple refrain that is true regardless of all the individual circumstances that brought us to the place of trouble and then how the Lord brought us out. A simple refrain. The Lord is faithful. He has shown his wondrous works to his people. We do need to consider for a brief moment this morning the spiritual application of these two stanzas. As much as there are physical deserts and physical storms that we have to endure in this life, we also have to think about, as we as pilgrims, how we might endure in the desert where God's word, where God's gospel is not present. Or maybe we're even dying a spiritual death. There will also be times when we are going through a storm, a crisis of our faith. We aren't able to even navigate the waters around us. In those times of trouble, especially in those times of trouble, where do you turn? Where do you go? We need a desert of God's word, a spiritual famine in your life. Time of spiritual crisis, where do you go? Call out to the Lord. Cry out to him. He will deliver us. He will bring us to places of safety, places where we can hear, where we can be reminded of his gospel promises to us, where we can be fed, where we can be nourished by his word. And the primary place where the Lord does that, it's right here, in his house. Every week on the Lord's day, it is here where God feeds us, where he's promised to feed us. Gives us a secure place to rest, a place to be refreshed. Because when we leave here on the Lord's Day, we're going back into the desert. We're going back into the wilderness. We're going to be enduring those storms for the next 6 days. But God will sustain us. Cast your cares upon the Lord. He will sustain you. As much as living in a fallen world will cause us to cry out to the Lord, there are also times where our own fallen hearts will give us times of trouble, times of distress. And that brings us to our second point, how God redeems us from our fallen hearts. The second and third stanzas of this psalm have a little different flavor to them. In those previous stanzas that we considered, there was no reason given why those pilgrims were in the situation they were in. There's no reason. Other than the fact that this is the reality of the world we live in. There are deserts, there are storms on the seas. But in verse 11 and verse 17, we're told that the affliction and trouble these other people have, these other experiences, was due to their own rebellion. They rebelled against the words of the Lord. They were despising his counsel. They were fools in their transgressions and their iniquities. And as a result, these people were face to face even with death as a consequence of their sins. In the context of the nation of Israel, we can see that they were undergoing the curses of the covenant. Verse 10 says that they were bound. Verse 12 says that they were under hard labor. Verse 17, they were afflicted. All of these things, we are told, were to come upon God's people if they transgressed his law. Deuteronomy 28 gives a very vivid description of all the curses that God's people could expect if they transgressed God's law. They're foolish. They didn't obey the words of the Lord. But we read the people were suffering in Psalm 107. We can find those back in Deuteronomy 28. And even the fact that the people abhorred all manner of food, which you read in verse 18, that's foretold in Deuteronomy 28 as well, when it speaks of being under a siege. And the only thing the people will be able to eat is human flesh and the afterbirth from giving birth to a child. I'd abhor that food as well. That's what Deuteronomy 28 says. At this point, we have to remember what the point of this psalm is. These people too were counted as the redeemed of the Lord. As they were coming close to death because of the consequences of their sin, what do they do? What do they do? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them from their distresses. Even at that time, when his people were rebellious, when his people were foolish, God heard their cry. And he delivered them. He was faithful to his covenant children. By his Holy Spirit, he caused them to see their sin, to cry out to the Lord for deliverance. And the Lord still, even in these situations, saved them from their distresses. That's who our God is. That's who he is. Even when we are foolish, even when we are rebelling against him, he causes us to see our sin, to cry out to him. He delivers us. That's our wonderful God. And we have heard that play out time and time again, haven't we? In our sermon series through Judges, through Ruth, 1 Samuel. The Lord is faithful. Faithful to those promises he made to Abraham. Faithful to that promise he made even before Abraham to our first father Adam in the garden. God is faithful. God is faithful. He hears the cry of his people. He turns their hearts to him. He redeems them from their sin and their enemies. Even death and Satan himself. God redeems us. And that's true of us too, brothers and sisters. That's true of us as well. The trouble that we may find ourselves in, maybe we find ourselves in it right now, it could be self-inflicted because of our own sin, because of our own foolishness. But as we've been hearing in our evening sermons, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate God's elect from his love. The redemption that he purchased for us through the blood of Christ. Psalm 107 reminds us of that so beautifully. Those that cry out to the Lord in their trouble, he saves, he delivers, he redeems. And God does this because of his chesed, his covenant faithfulness. He loved us. He foreknew us before the creation of the world. He gave us to Christ in that covenant they made before the creation of the world. And in time, the Spirit effectually called us out of our sin, out of our misery, out of our bondage, out of our affliction, out of our times of trouble. Psalm 107, verse 14, describes that deliverance, that we are being brought out of darkness, out of the shadow of death, and our chains are broken in pieces. In verse 16, the gates of bronze are broken.
The bars of iron are cut in two. Very vivid descriptions of the bondage that we are in because of our sin, but also what our triune God has freed us from. He hasn't just opened up the gates a little bit so we can just squeeze out. But what has God done to our bondage? Done to the gates that are holding us in? Shattered them. The bonds have been broken. The chains are destroyed. Completely free. Completely redeemed. Our redemption is full. Complete. Those things can't clamp onto us again. The chains are broken. The gates cannot be put back together. Completely freed. Truly, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. We see how the Lord does that, even when he redeems us from our own fallen heart. In verses 33 to 42, the psalmist gives us an accounting of other types of work that the Lord can do. Nothing is outside his ability. He can turn rivers into those dry ground, into wilderness. But he can also turn the desert into a fertile land, a place where his people can dwell and live and be sustained. Those who are high and mighty in the world, the Lord can cut down, bring them low, bring them into the wilderness, into the desert. But at the very end of this psalm is a picture of the ultimate blessing that God will bring us into at the end. When he comes, he makes all things new. And when we dwell with him forever. And those things have already been inaugurated in Jesus Christ. They've already begun. We've been freed from our bondage. Freed from our slavery of sin and death. Of course, our pilgrim journeys through this life are messy. We do still feel trouble and distress. But the Lord is still there. Still able and willing to save us. Just as we've already been fully saved in Jesus Christ, the Lord hears our prayers. I purposely refrained from using the word thanksgiving in my sermon so far. And I did this hopefully to remind us that this is a daily struggle. This is something we need to be reminded of every single day. Not just on Thanksgiving Day. Not even just on the Lord's Day on Sunday. Every day of our lives, we need to be reminded of what the Lord has done for us. Our daily struggle, daily reliance on the Lord. Every day we give sacrifices of thanksgiving, declare the works of the Lord with rejoicing. Every moment of every day we give thanks to the Lord for the redemption that he has given to us fully, completely. But again, on this national day of thanksgiving, it is appropriate, as we did earlier, to be reminded of how God saved a group of his children almost 400 years ago, as they were living in this fallen world. But it's most appropriate for us on this day to remember, to give thanks for the redemption that God gave to us 2,000 years ago, outside the city gates of Jerusalem, when the Son of God hung on a cross for us. It was there our greatest need was met. Greatest need was met. Our greatest enemy was defeated there. Listen again to verse 43. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the chesed, the loving kindness of the Lord. I hope and pray today that you are counted among the wise. You are counted among those who will observe these things. I will hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is given to us, even in Psalm 107. Maybe you've never considered the loving kindness of the Lord. Maybe you've never considered how God is faithful to his covenants. Maybe today the Holy Spirit will open your hearts to understand these things, to be counted among the wise. Who knows how God has saved you from your sin and misery. who loves you because of Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless your time with family and friends today. But take time to remember where the Lord has gathered you from, what he has redeemed you from, but also where he's leading you. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us out of the world, that you have redeemed us from our greatest enemy, sin and death. And Lord, we know that we will face many trials, many struggles in this life. But Lord, we can cry out to you. You will hear us. You will save us from our distress. Lord, may we be reminded again how you have delivered us from our greatest need through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that redemption, Lord. That redemption that will bring us into glory for all of eternity. New heavens and the new earth. Where there'll be no more sin, no more struggles, no more troubles, no more tears, no more trials, no more temptation. Lord, we look forward to that day. And may we give you thanks on this day for that new kingdom that you have inaugurated in our hearts, the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work of the triune God as we offer up our prayer to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.